Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, we have feathers. But the muscles of men. Because we're birds of war now. But we're also men. Birds of war.
Fields moves in the pocket. And gets away. Justin Fields takes off. Turns a sack into a big gain and a first down. Justin Fields, otherworldly, stays in, steps out at the 9.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Back to Montgomery. David Montgomery for the Bears touchdown. And Chicago takes the lead. On 3rd and 8, pressure coming out of the secondary. Hurts hard and took off. End zone ahead, touchdown. 22 yards, he straight up sliced them.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Hurts in rhythm into one-on-one. It is over the shoulder for Brown, and he's got it. AJ Brown against Jalen Johnson. They're going to sneak it with Hurts, and he's in. Second touchdown of the day for Jalen Hurts. 3rd and 5 here. Pressure coming. Fields whips it outside to Montgomery. His second touchdown. Bears take advantage of the takeaway. It is the sneak, and it's Hurts surging forward, but a flag down. He's in for the touchdown, but there is a flag. Fields has a wide-open Pringle. Blown coverage and a touchdown, and the Bears not dead yet.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
It's his direction. On the slant, he's got him again. And that should just about finish it.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood, we've got Shay, we've got Charlie, we got you for a Bears Monday. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000. All right, Cap, a 7-game losing streak as the Bears lose to the Eagles by the score of 25-20. For me, Cap, I just want to be able to capsulize it like this. The season is about an audience of one. An audience of one is Justin Fields. It's been like that all season to see what he's going to do, what kind of magic that he's going to be able to pull out. The thing is, though, is that 14 for 21, 152, and a couple of touchdowns, it's fun to watch. But again, it ends up in a loss for the Bears.
I see what you did there. Audience of one, that's his number.
Yes.
It's also the one guy that we can rely on.
Like, yes.
Wow. That kid, at the start of the year, when we talked about the record and the lack of talent, there's no way you can have a 3-14 record and know that you got your franchise quarterback. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
That kid is a beast. And I loved after the game that he said, I'm not going to run for 1,000 yards every year. Hint, hint, it was necessity this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to surround him with an A.J. Brown. That's what a number one receiver looks like. Please stop telling me. We got Darnell Mooney. We got Claypool. Stop. Those are threes. I want a number one. That dude caught 185 yards in passes. That dude also was targeted 16 times. That's what an A receiver looks like. Devontae Smith, he had, what, 126?
Mm-hmm.
That's also what a number one can look like. Put those two together. Stall, the tight end, is a solid player. No, I'm okay, Siri. I'm fine.
You didn't have a hard fall, did you?
Did not have a hard fall.
Okay.
I just banged my hand down.
Yes.
Their defensive line against our offensive line, mismatch. our defensive line against their offensive line. Mismatch. But we hung in there. They play hard for Eberflus. They play hard for their coordinators, Alan Williams and Luke Getsy. Just let Mr. Poles go to work. That's it. Let him go to work because we got our guy in the backfield in Justin.
If you just watch Bears football, maybe you don't see what the upper echelon looks like. You know what a great team looks like? You might walk in the club and say, hey, my girl's hot. Yeah, but the Eagles walk in and they go, I got a smoke show. 13-1. See the difference?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got Justin Fields. Oh, man, he's pretty hot. Let me show you what we have. We have, if you're the Eagles, you have the most efficient passer in the National Football League in Jalen Hurts. You have a team that is number one in sacks and number one in takeaways, number one in pass yards per game defensively. That's what a smoke show looks like. You walk in the club, you think you have something hot, and then here comes Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. That's completely different level of greatness when it comes to the National Football League for this year, 13-1. For those that just watch Bears football, you know what the upper echelon of the league looks like? It looks like the Eagles, where they have everything you need. A quarterback that's not just run first. Yes, he has 61 yards rushing on 17 carries, but also has the pocket presence to get it down to the guys you just mentioned, the Smiths, the Browns, the Gainwells, and others that were able to flourish in this Philadelphia offense. But you know what really impressed me, Cap? The thing that's going to keep Philadelphia afloat is how strong that defense is. How amazing that defense is. Hassan Reddick was just licking his chops at that Bears offensive line to be able to get past Leatherwood, to get past Komet, to get to the quarterback. They were opportunistic and they were swarming against the Bears offense.
Hassan Reddick, and Shea and I were texting and talking about this over the weekend. Shea said you cannot find edge rushers in free agency, and he's right. That's a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan Reddick, 10 sacks for his third different team in 3 years. Why this guy's out on the street looking for work, I don't know. But he, Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat, all 2 sacks apiece. Yes. Reddick has a dozen on the season. And when you have that type of ability, Fletcher Cox inside, Darius Slay, all of the Brandon Graham, all these guys, man, oh, man, is that a talented unit. And I think they absolutely looked past the Bears. They could say they didn't. They're in Dallas next week.
Sure.
They win that, and then they cement their spot at the top of the NFC.
But it just shows you, Cap, that we say the same thing for Dallas a couple of weeks ago, that they barely got past Houston. Hey, you got to win the tough games, and you got to win the blowouts, too. And so the same thing with the Eagles. Bears played them hard, but the Eagles are a step above. And even in the close game, they found a way to be able to win that ball game. They saw the Bears. They're like, okay, they don't have enough playmakers to beat us, but we got guys. Like, I mean, I was so impressed by Reddick, though, off the edge. I mean, you see Leatherwood there doing the best he can. One-on-one with Cole Kmet is just, that's just nothing. That shouldn't have happened. But just the way that they were able to get to this, to the quarterback, the way they were able to get in the backfield against the Bears was just very impressive. But again, just for those that have not watched this team or watched the Bills or – this is what it looks like. It's not your favorites because I have a Darnell Mooney jersey, and so he's the best. And I got a Montgomery jersey, and he's the best. And it's no. You want to see real talent? That's what it looks like on Soldier Field yesterday. That's what real talent looks like.
The interesting thing in watching that game yesterday, the Eagles are able to pressure the quarterback from so many different spots on the line.
Yes.
Alex Leatherwood, they had to take out of the game because he was getting his head kicked in by Reddick. Then you try to block him with a tight end. Cole Kmet's a good blocker for a tight end. Not against that guy.
No, that's just a bad job by the Bears.
And then we watched one of the plays we ran on the postgame show. So Leatherwood lines up. He gets back into his stance. Here comes Reddick. Well, he's also going to try and help on Fletcher Cox. So he puts his left arm out into the right guard and trying to help slow down with a punch to Fletcher Cox. And Reddick goes right around him. And Alex Brown's like, bro, how about you do your job first before you worry about helping somebody else? And finally they took him out and put Riley Reiff in.
What do they tell you on the airplane? Always put your mask on and then help other people.
That's right.
But
well
make
said.
Sure your mask on is first.
And Alex was going nuts. He's like, man, you're getting our quarterback killed.
Yeah.
6 times he was sacked.
Yeah. Because the Eagles are elite. That's why.
They are elite.
When you're number one in sacks, when you're number one in pressures, when you're number one in takeaways, yeah, that's what it looks like. And so when we talk about the Bears and their future, here's the thing that that listening to Eberflus yesterday, he always talks about positive things that he's seen. And when you're 3-11 and Justin Fields is really the only shining star on the team, I'm just wondering who's getting better. I think it becomes coach speak after a while. What else am I going to say to the media? Getting our head kicked in? What are we? Well, we're getting better. He's lying to us.
Shay's guy, Velus Jones.
My guy?
Who's getting better, Cap?
Who's Justin? 100%. Right. Justin Fields, 100%.
All right, Greeny's coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll get a chance to have the Cap and Joe cut of the day next.
Trenton Gill had a good game.
Excuse me?
He's the punter. Who's getting better? I mean, Braxton Jones continues to try and hang in there. You know, he's a rookie.
You understand the point.
Yes. You know who's had a breakout year? Cole Kmet.
Okay.
Cole Kmet has had a very good year. He's up to fifth in the NFL going into the game yesterday. I haven't seen postgame. Mm-hmm. In separation from closest defender, he has caught passes. He has blocked better. I think he's had a very solid season. Very.
And then when the Bears are good, he'll be in a different uniform.
No, he'll be your tight end. I think he's got a future here. I really, really do. Kyler Gordon. Kyler Gordon has had a very solid growing season, as has Brisker. I like our defensive backfield. But when you can't pressure the quarterback, I don't care if Rod Woodson at 22 years of age is out there.
Yeah.
You can't cover a guy that long.
We all talked pre-show. Jalen Johnson at 180 yards dropped on his head. We thought he played great.
I mean, yeah, hung in there against this team, sure. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had tackles. He was active. He got burned, but it's kind of like, it's the Eagles. What do you expect? And, you know, as far as Cole Kmet's concerned, you think he's going to be here when the team is good. If nothing else for Cole Kmet, he can have like a Greg Olsen-type career here at the Bears. You know, that can lead you to be the number one guy for Fox. Maybe he's the next broadcaster in the next 10 years.
Might be.
I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. Ain't no Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
Not a playoff appearances for Cole Kmet and him being a difference maker. Maybe broadcasting is in his future.
I think there are some things to hang your hat on. Do I think that's a quick turnaround next year? I do not. I know they've got cap space. They got all this. They got all that. I'm just... There's so many holes. So much lack of talent at key spots. We'll see what they do at number two. Everyone wants to trade down, me included, or get Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. One person doesn't fix this.
No, and that's the point. Again, you open your eyes and watch that game yesterday, and we could be here until 10 o'clock talking about all of the great players or difference-making players for the Eagles. And you just don't see that with the Bears, Cat. That's my point. It's like Eberflus can say that, you know, we're getting better and we're who's getting better? Like, are you getting better as a head coach? Is Getsy getting better as an offensive coordinator? It's hard to be able to put a grade on what Eberflus is doing with this team. Where's the talent outside of Justin that you say in 5 years, look out?
Defensive backfield, I think, will be very, very good. But until you can pressure the quarterback, I don't care who's back there. You can't cover A.J. Brown for 5 seconds. You cannot.
That's an
impossibility.
Here's the thing that we do know. Everything we look at with the Bears is a projection. If you believe that Justin Fields can be the guy, that's just based on empirical proof, because we've seen him run with the football, throw it down the field, and he's still got a lot to work on, but we see some signs. Look at the rest of this team. Outside of the Brisker, not even Gordon, Brisker. What?
And Gordon. Gordon had a fumble recovery, an interception. I thought he did a really good job, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I do.
So let's open the phone lines, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I want to find out from you, first of all, your thoughts about the game. Did you attend the game where you're at Soldier Field and at the frozen tundra of Soldier Field as the Eagles beat the Bears 25-20? Answer this question for us, please. Do you believe a team can be getting better on a 7-game losing streak? The Bears are 3-11. You think the team is getting better? Mike McDaniel, the coach of the Dolphins, has the answer to that question, and we'll get you your phone calls next on Cap and Jay Hood. Bears Monday.
That's why I say, man, I shot.
No Shot with Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my show. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and also streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, John the Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Charlie, we got you on a Bears Monday. We'll hear from the great Alex Brown in 1 hour, getting his thoughts on the Bears defense and everything else with this ball club losing to Philadelphia. But first, it's Shot or No Shot. It's brought to you by...
That would be Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the updated Points Bet app. Lightning bet, same game parlays like tonight for Monday Night Football. Hope you didn't bet on that awful Bulls team that literally embarrassed themselves last night. They quit. They disrespected you as a fan. But you can bet against them right there on the Points Bet app. And if you want to play the ponies, good morning, my guy.
Who?
Secretary.
Oh, that was Billy Donovan.
He's my guy, too, but he's got issues with that club right now. They better have the temerity to make a trade. He wears what number? What number is Zach? Eight? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy with the worst basketball IQ I've seen in a long time. Awful.
That's a, can I just tell you? We got Shot or No Shot, but that's pretty strong. When you use the Q word, that's really strong.
Really strong. Do you watch him defensive rotations?
I'll watch the game.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we'll get to it. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How we doing on a Bears Monday? Feeling good?
You know, I feel good about the football we saw. Not necessarily about what I saw at the lakefront, but I felt good about... We saw some great history-making things, good and bad, for the NFL.
We will talk about that at 8:35. I'm looking forward to getting into what happened around the league.
Wow.
One of the better football weekends I've seen, and I felt like I became even more of a Bears watcher because I felt good watching a team get their ass kicked.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's interesting. It was, I've never felt so positive after watching a defense get their ass kicked as I did yesterday. I want to start with the kicking fiasco. Three teams yesterday declined to attempt field goals from inside the 35-yard line for one reason or another, including the Bears, who punted from the Eagles 31. This was also unique in that the broadcast picked up. It was actually Cairo Santos himself who told the coaching staff he couldn't make the attempt after the wind test and after missing an extra point. Shot or no shot? The Bears need a new kicker.
That's a shot. And we saw the replay. Did you see it, Cap? He's getting grass off the field and then seeing the grass wave in the air. Nope, coach, I can't do it. So you had to punt. No field goal from 48. And so they trust Santos and they punt the football. Can I tell you something, Cap? If I'm your punter and you ask, if I'm your kicker and you ask me to do something, I'm going to try to do it. This idea is like, nope, I can't do it. Oh, you can't? Oh, you can't? Why can't you?
So,
because you've been terrible this year. That's why. On extra kicks,
extra points,
you can't get it done.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you guys because...
He says no.
In the pregame warm-ups, both kickers said from 45 yards was max because of the win. We saw it in the Washington game last night. They eschewed a field goal attempt that you would think they would make, that they would try.
Mm-hmm.
Cairo Santos, different discussion. Should they get a new kicker? They should certainly run three or four guys in for tryouts and determine whether he's the right guy going forward. You can't keep missing extra points. That is unconscionable. But on the field goal part of it, because of the cold and the wind, in pregame warmups, they had already told Eberflus, 45 is about max. If it's the end of the half, end of the game, yeah, we could try it. But you're going to give them field position in a situation like that. And so your special teams coach says, what are you good to? Beyond 45 is a crapshoot with this wind. All right, we're in a football game. We're trying to win. So we're not going to take this shot from 48 or 49 yards. I understood it did not have a problem with it because the Eagles did the same exact thing. The one difference is the Bears were, what, fourth and 22 or whatever they were? And the Eagles were fourth and three. They picked up the first down, but they didn't kick the field goal either. Mm-hmm. And he said after the game, Sirianni. Yeah, the win was just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the idea that he says, no, I can't, that just stinks.
That's my issue with it is,
like, I can't.
If Eberflus goes, you know what, we're not going to try this because the conditions are so bad. If Sirianni says that, the other one was the Washington Commanders. If Chico Rivera says we're not going to try this because the conditions are rough, I get that. If you go to your kicker to the point, helmet's on, he's been doing the kicking net, he's doing the wind test, and then he goes, nah, I'm good. I have an issue. I need a kicker on my team who, if I go, hey, let's try a field goal, you're saying, yes, I can make it.
Well, he said that he couldn't consistently kick from further out than the 28 because of how cold and windy it was. And apparently, he watched Jake Elliott warm up, and he had the same issues.
Yeah. At the 25 or 30, he also has a hard time, Santos. Doesn't matter how far it is. He's just not accurate.
Shaky bastard.
He is a shaky bastard.
What is he on field goals this year? I haven't even looked. It's extra points. What's he missed? Five extra points?
Yes. And you can ask me because I have the numbers right here.
What are they?
It says shaky bastard. That's what it says on my screen.
No, what is he on field goals? Seriously.
I just told you. Shaky bastard. Don't like what I see when he's out there, Cap. There's just, and to double down on that, Moose Johnson's like, I never see anything like that. Did you hear that, Shay? I mean, he's like, from that spot?
Everybody, like, on Twitter, whether it was a football person on Twitter, whether it was someone on the broadcast, everybody was saying, I've never seen a kicker decline an attempt.
And from that spot, that was surprising. I mean, even Moose Johnston, who doesn't criticize much, said that. That was interesting.
He's 18 of 20, Kep.
Yeah, so he's missed two field goals the entire year.
24 of 29 on extra points.
That's the problem. That is the one that's more concerned. I don't have a problem that they did not try the field goal. Now, if you told me it was 8 seconds left in the game and he declined, that's different. But early in the game, they're trying to stay in. I got no problem with the way the conditions were when the Eagles did the same exact thing. 18 of 20 is pretty damn impressive in those conditions at that stadium.
Among the laundry list of things that the Bears need to change, he's one of them.
They'll bring in competition. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
All right, what's next?
All right, Valus Jones fumbled away a possession in the third quarter on a Jets sweep. Matt Eberflus talked about it post-game. He struggled to hide his disgust.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like when guys lose the football. It's not good. Guys have to do a better job securing the ball. Again, I'll look at the tape. But when you're in traffic, you got to have 5 points of pressure on the ball and put your clasp hand over your other hand. So that's an important piece to it. But like I said, we'll look at it and we'll see where it is.
Shot or no shot, Valus Jones is done with the Chicago Bears.
Is he done?
Wow.
I mean, he'll be in camp next year, but he's going to have to fight.
Right. I don't think he's guaranteed a roster spot like he was this year. But done? Man, you're going to release a third-round pick right away on a roster that has nobody with his speed? Wow. That would be like an awful, awful decision of the drafting by Ryan Poles.
Well, how many strikes does he have so far? Jones is one of them. And again, like I said earlier, I usually will give rookies benefit of the doubt, but not when they're 45. I mean, he has an opportunity to do something here between now and the end of the season. He hasn't shown me much. If he was a special teams ace, I would say he's just not very good at the receiving piece, but he can't help you in special teams. He's not even helping you there.
I would think
that's not good.
I mean, maybe I can't believe they're going to release him. I think he will be in camp and a chance to atone for an awful rookie year.
And by the way, enough of this. I know we still get this in the ether every now and then, this whole Bears weather thing. You know, here's why I can't wait for Arlington Heights. Because you have Simbo Webster with his first catch, and he fumbled it out of bounds.
Right.
His first official catch as an NFL player. You got Valus Jones fumbling the football. Like, apparently our guys are too cold on the lakefront. So such Bears weather, our guys are too cold to hold on to the football.
Yeah, the Philly newspapers that I was reading this morning, Jalen Hurts said, I couldn't feel my hands. That contributed to the two interceptions. He said it was brutally cold out there.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Inside.
Exactly.
Cannot wait. Coat in the car.
I think we got Snorling to come around with us on that.
Yes, after his experience at Soldier Field. But I understand Shay's point, though, because Shay came onto the show saying it should be outdoors because he grew up going into Ford Field.
I got to tell you, watching the Bills game,
the mausoleum.
Watching the Bills and Dolphins on Saturday night made me feel things. Football's an outdoor sport, man. It just is. And whether the Bears go under a dome or not, I'll always appreciate teams like Buffalo that keep it outside.
They can do that. They can go right ahead.
Yeah, good luck to them.
I mean, if someone had a little bit more money, that team would be in Toronto.
Yeah. Pull your car indoors.
Well, soon they'll be under a roof, too. So,
seriously.
No worries.
The Hoods pull into Arlington Heights. Ah. He leaves his coat in the car. Hey, let's stop here. I want to get a new jersey. I want to get a Justin jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm going to stop right there at the Bet River Sportsbook. Huh. I'm going to make my play.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's go get barbecue today. Honey, I want to get deep dish pizza. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the pizza place.
With a smile on my face.
Correct.
Climate control, 72 inside.
You're wearing flip-flops to the game. It's the middle of the winter. Yeah, because it's 72 in here.
Is that a Bears Hawaiian shirt you have on?
Yes, exactly. Outside. Gotta be out of your freaking mind.
People will take advantage of that climate control walking in there with a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. Shorts. Like Yurko.
Right.
I feel like walking around here when it's 10 below. Tremendous.
Just build a nice stadium. That's all I ask. Dome it, build it, have it look something like the one in Vegas or something like SoFi, because Ford Field indoors is a garbage can.
Kid, we ain't getting SoFi. It's the McCaskies.
Oh, that's true.
But Vegas would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Shay.
All right, Justin Fields became just the third quarterback in NFL history to eclipse 1,000 rushing yards in a single season. After the game, he had this to say.
No, sir. Not... I don't plan on rushing for 1,000 yards every year. But, like I said before, it's an honor. And, you know, it's a blessing from God. And, like I said, I couldn't do it without my coaches and teammates.
He said, obviously, he doesn't plan on doing this every year. Shot or no shot, that's the best thing he could have said about rushing for 1,000 yards.
That is a shot. Glad he said that. Ultimately, that's also a shot across the bow to the general manager, Poles. I don't plan on doing this. Hey, man. Hey.
That's it.
Give me some weapons so I have to do all this. I'll do some of it, but I'm not going to carry this whole team on my back with my arm and my legs. Figure it out upstairs.
Correct.
Bayless Jones.
Correct.
Tristan Ebner.
Hey, Justin, what's your plans at the end of the season? I'm going to Hawaii for like a month. I'm going to relax, and then I'll be back here ready to rock and roll. But could you please get me some guys that are big and mean in front of me? Get me 3 or 4 really good big-time receivers. And let's go.
That's right.
Let's go to work.
Exactly right. Can you sneak in one more, Shady? Do we have one more?
I can't sneak in one more. How about an NFC North question? The Lions got their 6th win in their last 7 to improve to .500 on the season and take legitimate aim at a playoff berth. If they get in, likeliest opponent would be either at Minnesota or at San Francisco. So shot or no shot. If the Lions make the tournament, they can actually win a playoff game.
That's a shot. They absolutely can win a playoff game. Now, do I think they're rolling into Philly and taking out the Eagles and I'm putting my money on it? Not at this point. But if they get in, they're probably, other than Philly, the team you least want to play in the NFC.
That very well could be the case. And you look at the rest of the schedule for the Lions, it's no real challenge. We'll see what happens against the Packers on January 8th, but it's the Panthers, Bears, and then the Packers.
At Panthers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Home with the Bears.
That's a hot,
and where's Green Bay?
By the way, that's a hot Steve Wilkes team, by the way, with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's not a gimme.
Okay, so wait. You're at the Panthers, home for the Bears.
Here against the Bears.
At Lambeau.
No, it's not here with the Bears.
Oh, it's in Detroit.
In Detroit. Yeah. And then at Lambeau, you said?
Yeah, at Lambeau.
Okay, so 3 of their last 4 are on the road because they played yesterday in New York. I think they're going to win all 3 of those games. I do. That gets them to 10-7. That should get them in. Should.
Now what are you going to do once you get there?
Right. Who would they get in the first round?
I just said likeliest is either at Minnesota or at San Francisco. I think if they go to Minnesota, they win. If they go to San Francisco, best of luck.
Don't know. Don't know what that looks like. And that's the beauty of the NFL. That's what makes it fun.
I can't wait for that weekend.
That's what makes it fun. Because you don't know.
That what's the date that would be? Like the
15th. It's the 14th and 15th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's to sit on the couch and watch the Lions and 49ers or whoever. Lions, Vikings. That would be amazing.
What's the right way to build the Bears? Next on Cap and Jay Hood.
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Now, Alex Brown.
Alex Brown, you see him, number 96.
Nine-year NFL veteran.
This is how they win.
And Bear for Life.
Their defense does everything for them.
Joins Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Glad that you're with us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Got Shay, we got Charlie, and you on a Bears Monday as the Bears lose to the Philadelphia Eagles at the lakefront. We turn now to the great Alex Brown with us here on ESPN 1000, an analyst here for us on ESPN 1000 as well as NBC Sports Chicago. Alex, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
What's up, AB?
You know how I'm feeling, man?
What's going on?
You know how I'm feeling?
Oh, no. It's one of the biggest kicks in the history of Florida.
Capital One postgame coming up on the ESPN app. 40-yard attempt for Mahalik to avoid the shutout. Longest streak.
Sweet tats.
On the line. But that's the only thing on the line right now.
It's a lot, Dave. And look at Mahalik coming through for Coach Napier and the Gators. It'll now be 436 consecutive games in which the Florida Gators have scored a point while playing football. What a kick.
Horrible.
Historic moment right there. That was a historic moment.
What a kick.
You are horrible. That's what you hang your head on, Florida? That's how you end your season?
It's that bad. It's that bad right now. Yes, that's what we hang our head on.
You got Pat McAfee hyping up the kicker? That's what you hang your head on. You are a disgrace to the SEC.
You know what? If teams like Vanderbilt and Kentucky for 30 years, if they're not a disgrace, I mean, you know, a down year or two for the Gators is not a disgrace.
Down year or two? Hold on.
Whoa. We lost 30-3. And I get this from you two because you guys, you're the same two that won't acknowledge that Alabama loses two first-round receivers and Georgia wins, and you think Georgia's a better team. Like, you're the same two guys. So, okay, that's fine. Injury doesn't matter to you. You say next guy up. Next guy up only sounds good. If you were the starter, you would be the starter. And then, y'all, go back to Tom Brady. He's the only one. That's why you have to go back 20 years to actually get one of those references. If you're better than the starter, you would be the starter. So next guy up only sounds good. So when you lose the amount of players that we lost, well, hey, we lost to Oregon State. So we lost to the Beavers. They're 14th in the country. But still, their conference champion, we beat. So okay. I'm going to hang my hat on that as well.
I can't hear you. I'm polishing my trophy, my national championship trophy. Can't hear you. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what you and I watched together yesterday because they're going to probably finish 3-14. I don't see the Bears beating the Bills. I don't think they win in Detroit when the Lions are trying to get to the playoffs. And I frankly don't think they'll beat Minnesota the last week of the season. So what we watched yesterday, give me something positive that you watched other than Justin Fields.
Effort on defense. I thought they played hard. I thought they competed, even though the talent on the other side was just better. They competed, and this is a team that's playing hot. They've been hot all year in the Eagles, so watching them go out and compete, that was a good thing. Seeing some defensive linemen make some plays. I mean, we went three, four, maybe even longer than that, 5 or 6 weeks where we weren't getting to the quarterback, not even pressure. So, and you knew this team coming in, you may not get a lot of takeaways on this team, and they were able to get them because Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over. So you got to go take it away from him, and we're able to do that. So those are some of the positive things I saw out of this game. I saw a team come in, and they competed. They competed hard. Yeah, there were some mistakes, and you got Brisker coming down. He's out of his gap, like Coach Eberflusa mentioned after the game. It's just those little things get you beat, and good teams take advantage of these mistakes. So we make a mistake in this Brisker incident, it immediately turns into a touchdown. So those things we'll learn from, we'll get better at. And as we stop making those little mistakes, then we'll have a chance to win some of these big games.
What's the difference between Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts when you see them both on the field together?
Justin Fields is much faster. I think he has a bigger arm. And Justin Fields does not have a number one receiver in A.J. Brown and a really, really, really good number two receiver in the Slim Reaper. So I think that's the difference. Everything else is, I think, comparable. Well, the offensive line. So the offensive line that they have is top-notch in the league. We do not have that offensive line. So you take Justin Fields and you put him on that team, I think that team is a lot better. And I think that's scary. So I think you look at that blueprint and you bring in some, you build an offensive line and you get some big time playmakers, at least one. Give me a number one receiver. And I think our offense, takes a huge step forward with Justin at the helm.
So, AB, as we watched that game yesterday and we see Velus Jones put the ball on the deck, we see Cairo Santos miss another extra point. What do you do if you're Matt Eberflus with a guy like Velus Jones? He was a high pick, third round. They really had high hopes. He's fast as lightning, but he can't hang on to the football. What do you do there?
Man, there's a lot of guys out on the street that can run. So, like you got to be able to hold a football. You can't, especially when you have a team like the one we have. We don't have room for error. There's a very small margin of error here, and when you give the ball away, it sucks the air out of the team. You can't do it. I keep refreshing my Twitter account, waiting on somebody to be cut. So I'm waiting on it because I'm just listening to Eberflus after the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's not happy. He's not happy when you mention Eberflus. You mention Santos. Listen, he's not happy with those guys and the way they're performing. I would not be shocked, and nobody in Chicago should be shocked, or any Bear fan should be shocked if we saw some people get cut over the last part of the season. Because what you want to do now, what you're trying to find is guys that's going to be on this team when this team actually turns that corner and start to become a very competitive to good team. The way they're playing now, I don't think these two guys will be. That's just it. We get put in a bad situation, and I know it's an extra point, and people don't look at it as something that's as important as it is, but it completely changes the game plan. It changes the way that the game flow is going, because as opposed to being, let's say they're up 10 points and you score a touchdown, then if you make the extra point, then you're only down by three. You're down by a field goal. But when you miss that extra point, now you have to score a touchdown to take the lead, or you can't tie it, right? So it's those things, and it changes the game plan. So you need those points, and you need somebody reliable that can do that. I mean, to know that your kicker, yeah, it's great that he came and said that he couldn't, hey, coach, I can't make that. Well, I need somebody that can make that. I need somebody that can make that, kick a 49 or a 50-yard field goal in cold weather. Because we're not just going to turn this around and become the number one team in the NFC. So what we got to do, we're going to have to go somewhere when it's cold and win. And those games will be close, and I will need a kicker that can make those kicks. If he can't do it, he's only going to get older. So I need to find a guy that can do it.
Alex Brown with us on Cap and J-Hood every Monday on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. What were your overall thoughts about the way the Bears played defensively? Many have said, wow, look at this Eagles juggernaut offensively, and they were held to 25 points and some good plays by some of the defensive players. What stood out most for you?
I don't believe that this was the best the Eagles could play by any means, but I think that the Bears defense had something to do with that. They took advantage of some errant throws by Jalen Hurts. They tackled well. It was late in that game before the Eagles running back. He's a big part of their offense before he really had any positive yards. So I thought they did a really good job against the run. I thought they swarmed tackle when Jalen got outside the pocket. I mean, there was one play where Sanborn is just flying all over the place, and he tackles him as Jalen's trying to get outside, and he runs him down. It's just like those effort plays, it's just those are the things that's gonna help you win. as you continue to add talent to this team. The standard has to be there, and the standard is you're going to give 100% effort each and every play. Now, you got to know what you're doing when you're giving this 100% effort. So you got a guy like Brisker. Hey, we've been over it before. Brisker is a talented player. I think he's going to be a superstar. But these particular plays, he can't make those mistakes. And I think he will grow from this. I think he'll learn from it. And he won't make. You won't see him make these plays, these bad plays again. Will he mess up? Yeah, sure. He'll mess up down the line. But it'll be far and few between.
Before we let you go, as you watch this team and you saw what a grade A Super Bowl contender looks like, what is realistic for next year? Because you were here when Lovie first got here, and it took time. And I think your first year they were 4-12. What? How far away are they? What's realistic in 2023?
Independent. I mean, there's a lot that's going to go on in the next 4 months, 4 or 5 months. So that can really change this team tremendously. Now, for Lovie, a lot of the players were on the team in 04. A lot of those players are on. Now, he go and he add Tommy Harris and he add Tank Johnson, and you start, you make a big splash with bringing Adewale Ogunleye in. So, and you saw how he wanted to build a football team. With this, we're going to see how Poles, with this offseason and free agency, you're going to see how Poles and Eberflus wants to build this football team, and you're going to, then that's going to happen in free agency. And then they'll come to draft. Whatever pick we have, we'll probably have a top three pick. But wherever that pick is, you're going to see if they trade down and they're trying to fill some holes, or they take a real dominant player at that top spot. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm a year, honestly, a year. I mean, you talk about that 4-12 season with Lovie. The next year we're 11-5 because it came on and we started playing well and we found out what we won with, and that was playing great defense and running the football. And then the next year, you add a guy like a Devin Hester. You add a Mark Anderson. He goes and gets 12 sacks. Then you have Devin Hester, who just takes your special teams to another level. Well, now you got something. Now you have an explosive team that also plays great defense and can run the football. So all things that you need when you hit the playoffs, we're able to do. So it's not far. It's just making the right moves over the next 4 or 5 months. And that's going to be solely in the lap of Ryan Poles. So we'll see. He's gonna earn that money over the next 4.5 months, 5 months, and we'll either be happy or there'll be people calling for him to get out of here. So it's gonna be fun. I'm excited to see it. I think he'll do well. I think we'll be very competitive next year, and then the following year I will be looking for like something where we make a run for this thing deep in the playoffs. So I love the direction we're headed, though.
Who is Coach Brown cutting this morning? Who's not going to make it this morning?
Oh, Velus is gone. He gone, man. He gone. He's gone. And Santos, I got 7 kickers coming in. I'm not cutting him simply because of the history. He's been good, but there's some competition coming in. And that would have happened a while ago. So I've been saying it. I got crushed for saying it, 3-4 weeks ago. But when you see the crack, you need to start fixing the crack, because then it becomes a bigger and bigger crack. Now it's a hole, and now you can't fix it. I don't want to get to that point. I don't want to wait. I need him to understand that, hey, man, hey, you don't thin ice here now. Velus would be gone, though. Yeah, I'll give him a first-class ticket, wherever we want to go, but I ain't going to put him on a bus. I'm not going to be that guy. So, but, yeah, I'll get him a first-class ticket. He got to go, though.
There you go.
See you, Velus. Hey, Alex, have a great day, man. We appreciate you.
You guys too, man. Thank you. Go Gators.
All right. Have a happy holiday. Have a happy holiday.
Wow.
And a great Kwanzaa. You're going to need it.
Tell Kerry hi.
I will. Thanks, guys.
That's enough from you.
Alex, his wife, the best.
Alex Brown, that's fine, but Alex, not so much.
Wow.
Alex Brown with us here, our favorite Gator here on Chicago's Hope for Sports. How much optimism did you get seeing the Bears compete against the Eagles?
Yeah, and I want to know, did PFF rate our offensive line the best in the league again this weekend?
Let's take a look.
That Pro Football Focus nonsense. Bears offensive line rated very well. Yeah, okay. Good luck.
I don't sound like that, by the way.
I didn't say you did.
Next.
Some nerd in the library did.
I said next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J-Hood.
Time for Worst Weekends here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Don't forget to check out the Cap'n J Hood feed. If you miss any episodes, check it out. Go to the ESPN Chicago app, hit Cap'n J Hood. It'll be a NBA Fast Break podcast that's available after hour three of our show today. Some thoughts about the Bulls and the future of the Bulls and Billy Donovan going off. In his own way, in that press, I watched his press conference. Interesting thoughts. This is the weekend, by the way, when coaches start to open up. Eberflus and Donovan yesterday.
I also sent you guys audio. I don't know if it got put in the system of Goran Dragic after the game.
Yeah,
they don't trust each other, and that's the only way it can turn around. Last night's game was embarrassing, and it was disrespectful to you, the fan. Disrespected you by quitting. They quit. 150 points? Are you freaking kidding me? Kendall Gill said on the post game, I played 15 years. Never played on a team where someone scored 150 on us.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. When you, Shay, when you hear the Q word, and that's what I call it, when you say, you hear quit, that's usually the end. When a team just shuts it down, that shows you like they couldn't care less about themselves. Coach, fan, anything. That's not good. We're not even January yet. The Q word's tough.
Yep.
They had a bad weekend.
They did.
I would venture.
Here's Shay Norling with the rest of the worst weekend.
Honorable mentions. There's a lot of bad weekends. Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions to go around. Alex Leatherwood is an honorable mention. He's going to want that film burned. He was
horrible.
Not on the field. Valus Jones is an honorable mention. Chicago Bulls are an honorable mention. And the New England Patriots are an honorable mention for Jakobi Meyers throwing a lateral in a tie game that resulted in a weird fumble six.
Who thinks, does he understand that the game was tied?
Apparently not.
Statue of Liberty in that spot.
Correct. But it all starts with Ramondre Stevenson, who was told, go to the ground, we'll get to overtime.
God almighty.
I just decided at the last second to try to make a play.
You know why? Because I'm tired. I want to go home. Hopefully we can get a touchdown so I have to play the overtime period. I want to shut it down.
It was bad.
And you see what happened. The
Chandler
end result
Jones
of that.
Went, oh, thank you. Mac, get off of me.
Oh, man. All right, so we got honorable mention. Now who else belongs in this list?
For the third straight week, I believe, Elon Musk had a bad weekend. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk went to on Twitter yesterday. Twitter support posted that they would no longer be allowing accounts whose existence was to promote other social media platforms. Very quickly, everybody reported that this was a blatant violation of FTC rules. Twitter took the support down, support post down. They took the policy away. Then Elon Musk tweeted and asked the people, should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the poll. The poll was simply yes or no. 58% said yes. The poll is final.
So will he go through with it? I guess that's the question.
That's the remaining question.
No shot.
Oh, I can't put that poll up and then not abide by the... He said he would abide by whatever the result is. And people want him out of there. And he'll still own Twitter. He just won't be... It'll be a different role for him, right? Someone else would be the CEO of it. He'd still own it, but someone else would be the CEO. I believe that's how that works.
He'd still be pulling all the strings from behind.
Yes.
It's his $44 billion he put up.
Yeah.
Every weekend, I keep thinking he can't step in it worse than he did this weekend. And then the following weekend, he does. It's incredible.
He's a whack job.
Is that what you think of him? A whack job?
Whack job.
Elon Musk. I mean, I've been telling you for years I haven't believed in him. I mean, I know you have friends of yours that have a Tesla.
Alex Brown.
But the point is, though, is I want to be able to be in the sky driving like the Jetsons. Isn't he supposed to be able to invent that, too?
We're hoping.
Well, it's not going to be under him. I wouldn't trust that car.
Alex Brown was in his Tesla jacket yesterday. I said, how much do you like your Tesla? Greatest thing I've ever bought in my life.
Good. The next iteration of that has to be in the sky driving like the Jetsons.
Yeah.
We thought that back in the day, as kids, we thought in 2022 we would be up in the sky.
When I was a little kid, my late dad, we'd be like, Dad, how long till we're going to get there? I'm going to hit the flying button, boys. And he would hit it. Okay.
That's cool.
I'll get picked up in an Uber in a Tesla sometimes. And every time I'm just like, I'm not good enough for this. Like, I don't belong in here.
I would like an electric car at some point. Don't have to pay the gas prices.
My friend over here needs a hug. Charlie here doesn't believe.
Charlie, you're good enough for an electric vehicle.
Doesn't think he's good enough to be in a Tesla.
Tesla. I just walk in. I'm like, this is above me.
Yeah, wow. That's from that station wagon background he's from.
That's it.
He just feels that. The Oregon in him says, I just need to be in a car that's made of wood.
I also have to ask, like, how do I open the door? Like, I don't know how to do it. This is really hard to open.
There's no handle, right?
Yeah, you have to press a button. I never know where it is.
It's funny. That's pretty awesome.
Get out.
All right, what else is on Worst Weekends?
50 Cent is embroiled in a lawsuit. Have you seen this?
Another one. Okay, what is it now?
This is a tough look for 50 Cent. Angela Kogan of Perfection Plastic Surgery and Med Spa asked to take a photo with him when he visited her clinic.
Yeah.
She then used it in an article as the feature photo. The article was titled, Penis Enhancements Are More Popular Than Ever. So 50 Cent is suing her.
Hold on a second. So, 50 Cent needs a penis enhancement. Is that what you're saying?
That's what the article's saying.
Oh, my God.
Featured photo from this plastic surgery clinic. Penis enhancements more popular than ever. 50 Cent.
I mean, you take every dollar, right? Because that's embarrassing. You go to that because it's private.
Okay, is he saying they violated his privacy? Are they saying he falsely needed penis enhancement? Or are they just trading on his fame sell their product?
His legal name, Jackson, has never consented to his image, likeness, and name being used in this manner. It says nothing about whether or not he had the penis enhancement.
Yeah, she just threw a stock photo on there. Happened to be a 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Charlie?
A little NIL situation going on.
And it really is.
Everybody's all worried about how it's going to impact college kids, but
nobody was talking about how it would impact 50 Cent and his penis enhancement.
NIL.
Get every dollar, right? Every dollar. He has a case, does he not?
No, if she's using his name and likeness to sell her business under the auspices that she enhanced his penis,
huh?
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, and of course, that's tough in them streets, too. 50 Cent walking around. You need a penis enhancement. The hardest dude on the streets, and you need a penis pump. Yeah.
How about that?
That doesn't go over well in Hollywood. I know that he's not that gangster anymore, but still, the idea that people associate him with that.
You're correct.
That's tough.
Not good.
What's next?
A Connecticut woman, a mother, Jessica Johnson, was telling Good Morning America that her son, George, a six-year-old, spent $16,293.10 in the Apple App Store charging purchases to the game Sonic Forces.
No!
She's issuing a warning to parents.
No!
Lock up the credit card.
Now, is there any way for them to go to Apple and Apple to say, yeah, we get it, we're going to kick it back to you, or is she stuck?
I think she's stuck.
I think it happens a lot. Well, obviously not to this extent, but it does happen a lot where, like, little kids will spend a bunch of money on an app, and then the parents, like, I think there's a process for it.
Apple refunded back $10,553.86. You still lost $6,000.
Cap, if that was your kid, and that's how much money you lost.
Oh, man.
What's that like in the Kaplan household?
It wouldn't be a pleasant evening.
the old Cap would return.
Yes.
Yes! Lock the doors.
Rising like a phoenix.
I can promise you it wouldn't be, go get a 10-second or 10-minute timeout in the corner. No.
No. Bam!
Corporal punishment.
It would not be good.
Would not be good.
$6,000. I mean, you recovered 10, but still.
Cap's winning it all back on a same game. No worries.
But for Cap, it's the principle of the thing, right?
Yes, that's correct.
As I used to say.
And my wife and I both feel the same about timeouts and no. Nope.
Mm.
A little fear.
Probably more than that. Knowing you.
A little paddling.
Yeah, a little bit. $6,000. $6,000's worth of paddling, yep. I'm sure, right?
That's $1,000.
Oh, jeez.
$2,000.
What else is left?
The final worst weekend entrance is the man who became the biggest loser in NFL history. Matt Ryan is now on the wrong end of the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history and the biggest comeback in regular season history. He is quite literally a generational loser.
Oh, it's fair to say.
Brutal.
I don't think after this season, just wrap it up.
It was 33-0 as they were interviewing Jeff Saturday walking off the field at halftime. And I'm like, oh, boy, what a bad game this is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 4th-and-18, and they're punting the first possession of the second half, the Vikings. I'm like, well, there goes for coming out of the locker room strong. Next thing you know, I'm picking Brett up, and he's like, Dad, it's 36-28 now. I'm like,
what?
Excuse me?
You're not reading that right. Let me take a look at that. Whoa!
Hold on a second.
How about that? This is a tough one.
I had it on. It was like 36. I don't know. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
36-28.
Yes.
And then we get it on 36 all. What?
So I apologize, Vikings fans. I know it's against the Colts, but they had to come back. That is on Kirk Cousins. You know what? Shay, I apologize for the week.
He tried his damnedest to throw that game away late. He tried real hard.
He did. But give them credit for coming all the way back.
39 up in the second half.
Yeah, give them full credit.
Full credit.
Now, does that translate into postseason wins where Kirk Cousins at the helm?
Jared Goff's walking in that building with some swagger.
Seriously.
Wow.
Like that's a great comeback. Does that translate? Does that mean that this is the point of the season where they say, okay, we're on our way? Can you live up to the hype? To your first place standing in the NFC North and do something in the NFC. Can you do something in the playoffs? Get all the talent in the world. We talk about it all the time. Offense, defense. What can Kirk Cousins do? People talk about these gaudy numbers. Where's the W's in big spots? You had one on Saturday. Can you do that in the postseason? That's my question. Coming up, the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day on Chicago's Home for Sports.